16 Curious Thoughts, an audio exhibition of NeoPost Object visual artworks.
Man as antenna. See a man standing, his left arm in the air, index finger pointing up. He is looking down and saying, "Please mind the gap between the earth and the sky." Imagine an art movement that challenges everything we know about visual art. A movement where the art object itself disappears, leaving only the mind to create and perceive. This is the cognitive art movement. Cryptic art. See yourself walking into a gallery space. The room is empty, other than a screwed up piece of paper on the floor. Undoing it, a text written in pencil reads, "Art is a deliberate but unnecessary expression of consciousness. Manifest within a cultural system where it is valued and named as art." You screw up the piece of paper, throw it onto the floor, and you leave, turning off the lights and closing the door. Consider the work of artist Martin Creed.
The cognitive art movement was conceived not just as art, but as a philosophical experiment. Richardson envisioned it as a way to provoke thought about how art is created, valued, and consumed. Its manifesto proposes something extraordinary: the complete removal of the physical art object, replacing it with what he calls the cognitive visual art object. The result? A rebalancing of art's intellectual and financial worth.
A thought inside a thought. See a glass jar. Inside is nothing.
The Cognitive Art Manifesto was written by artist and theorist Stephen Richardson as a bold rejection of the material art object and an invitation to explore the uncharted territory of cognitive creativity.
Notes from Under a Boab Tree. An uprooted Boab tree hangs inverted, suspended from the beams in a cavernous factory. On the floor under the tree, a bentwood chair. On the seat, a handwritten note that reads, "Simply accept it. There is nothing to be done about it, because twice two is mathematics. Just try to argue." Fyodor Dostoevsky, 1864, Notes from Underground. Reconsider. Consider yourself sitting on a chair. A moment later, reconsider yourself sitting on a chair a moment ago.
The manifesto becomes a tool for questioning the very systems that define art today. It asks, can art exist solely in the mind? And if so, what form might it take? Richardson's journey began with a simple but profound question: what comes next for visual art? After more than a century of conceptual art, audiences still expect art to exist in some physical form: a painting, a sculpture, a performance. But what if that expectation is unfounded? What if art can be created and consumed entirely cognitively, without ever becoming tangible? To explore these ideas, Richardson embraced the role of founder, spokesperson, and principal cognitive artist. His work culminated in the exhibition 33 Curious Thoughts, a collection of text, sound, and digital film designed to challenge the boundaries of visual art. Art, as Richardson reminds us, is fundamentally about asking questions. Lawrence Weiner, a pioneer of conceptual art, once said, "Art is one of those things that appears in the world because somebody decides they are going to pose the question." For Richardson, that question is whether art can exist purely in the mind, detached from any physical form.
infra-thin. See two identical chairs. Now sit on one of them. And now consider your choice. Sticky. You are given a chopper chop. It is unwrapped with awkwardness because the wrapper is sticky and sticking to the sweet. With the wrapper discarded, you hold it by its plastic stick. You put the sweet in your mouth and you suck it. After some time, you put the sweet in the palm of your hand, close your fingers around it, open and close them several times, then stop. When you feel like it, throw the sweet on the floor and cry. The brick. In the center of a gallery, a house brick floats in mid-air. Etched into the brick are the words, "Welcome to art as a rejection of logic." The Cognitive Art Manifesto. The art of the future will exist only in the mind. All artworks that have a physical form, no matter how contemporary, have become objects of nostalgia. To embrace cognitive art, artists must abandon the physical construction of artworks. A cognitive artist will adhere to the following principles. Number one, produce only the instructions for the forming of art as a cognitive state. The instructions should exist only in order to convey the artwork, not to aid its physical realization. Number two, the artist shall not use linguistic or graphic ornamentation. Such ornamentation will lead to the classification of the instructions as an art object. Number three, the artist will not allow any artifact arising from the communication of the cognitive object to become valued as an art object. The Cognitive Art Manifesto facilitates the democratization of both the production and consumption of art, freeing both artist and audience from the tyranny of the financial system, the virtue signaling of artistic skill, and the industrialization of art production. As such, each iteration of the cognitive artwork will be a unique experience only made possible by each person's own psychology. The problem of the imperceptible mark. See a man sitting at a table, in front of him a sheet of paper and a pencil. You watch as he makes an imperceptible dot in the center of the sheet. He repeats the action until the paper has been clearly marked.
The Manifesto of Cognitive Art challenges us to reconsider not only how art is made, but also how it is consumed.
Schrödinger's cat. See a small square wooden box on a table with a lid, a hammer, four nails, and a sheet of paper and a lump of charcoal. A label with instructions is glued to the side of the box. It reads, "Place the paper and charcoal inside. Using the hammer and nails, seal down the lid and shake the box. The box is never to be opened. On the top of the box is glued another label that reads, "Inside is a drawing of a cat."
By removing the material object, Richardson argues, we open up new possibilities for creativity and connection, possibilities that transcend traditional boundaries.
Untitled Cognitive Object Number 1. Rounded, but not round. Indented all over. Cold and damp to the touch. Hard, but velvety. do-it-yourself mind reading. See yourself in the middle of a room with white walls and a white floor. In front of you is a white chair and a white table, on which is a mechanical turntable with four small identical boxes with lids and a clearly marked switch to turn it on and off. Instructions are printed on both sides of a clean white card. They read, "Think of four small objects. Place one of them in each box and replace the lids." Now turn the switch on and allow the boxes to rotate. After several rotations, turn the device off and remove one of the objects from the boxes at random. Place it in front of you. Now turn the card over. The card reads, "Consider why you might have chosen the four objects you started with, and why you chose to remove the one you did." Your mind reading is now complete.
Stephen Richardson's Cognitive Art Movement invites us into a world where art is not bound by physicality. It dares us to imagine, to think, and to create in ways that are as infinite as the human mind itself.
Untitled Cognitive Object Number 2. Hard-edged. Rough, irregular, and warm to the touch, too heavy to lift. Notes from under a grand piano. A grand piano hangs from the ceiling at an awkward angle. Thick jute ropes wrapped around its body. Hanging by a single rope, it creaks as it stretches, moving as it settles. On the floor beneath are the clothes of a concert pianist, laid out neatly. Black formal tailcoat and trousers, white dress shirt, pressed and folded, collar and bow tie, and patent leather shoes. Pinned to the shirt, a note handwritten in pencil says, "Consciousness is man's supreme misfortune." Dostoevsky, 1864, Notes from Underground.
In a time when the tangible often dominates, the cognitive art movement asks us to embrace the intangible. It's a bold step forward, a reimagining of art not as an object, but as an idea that lives and breathes in the spaces between.
Room of Souls. At the far end of the room is a doorway into a cavernous room full of rounded river stones. An inner soft voice is telling you to enter, to explore for as long as you feel you want, and to collect any stone you choose, and then to walk on through a passageway to the next room. When you get there, this room has more stones piled high. The voice is telling you to find a place to throw or gently leave the stone you carried with you. A body of clay. Consider a fist-sized piece of clay. Manipulate it with your hands. Change its shape. Feeling rather than seeing. Then stop when you want and look at the shape.
This recording is voiced by Stephen Richardson and Diana Tuppy Carroll, with text, music and soundscape by Stephen Richardson, produced in 2025.